Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to church. I am so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you tuned in today, and I'm believing that God is going to speak to you right where you are. I think He has a great word in store for us. So if you would just grab your faith and agree together that we can hear from God this morning, I think you're going to get what you need to get out of this if you put your faith to it. Say, okay, God, speak to me. I need to hear from you. I need a word. I think God is going to meet you right where you are. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for your generosity. Many of you are still giving online, even though we are not meeting together in person. For many of you, you're still locked down or you're not able to come out for one reason or another. I still appreciate you taking care of us. You don't know this because you can't feel temperature, but this room is pretty hot. We had two air conditioners last week get struck by lightning. And so that's always a great expense when you're trying to build a building and you're counting on those air conditioners to last, and they did not. But in the midst of all that, God's still good. God's people are still generous. Yes. And because of your generosity, we're able to take care of that. It's not a problem, even though it was a little frustrating. But we're going to talk more about that in the message today. I want to bring you something called The Frustrated Jesus and dealing with frustrations. This has been a year of frustrations, and I think that you need to know how to deal with those. I've had to figure out, okay, how does Jesus deal with frustrations? And as we're getting into God's word, I want you to know that God wants to speak to you. Yeah. And I'm believing that if you open up your heart, if you open up your mind to Him, if you're attentive to God's word, He's going to meet you right where you are and help to solve some of those frustrations and put them in perspective. I also want to say a very special happy anniversary to this lady over here. So this is, can you get a camera on this one right here? Yes. So that's my beautiful wife, in case you didn't know. She is my partner in crime, and I love her very, very much. She's an amazing wife, and I could not do this without the support of a wonderful, amazing woman of God. And so you guys there, stretch out your hands toward the screen and say, bless that woman for putting up with that crazy guy. No, we're so glad that you tuned in today. If you like what you're hearing, would you click that share button? Like, comment, let us know what you're hearing, what you like. Let us know what you don't like. We'll just delete it later. But click the share button. That means a lot to us if you would. I want to spend some time in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8. I'm going to start in Matthew 17, but get to Mark pretty quickly, and we'll spend most of our time there today as we're looking at the frustrated Jesus. You know, this has been a year of incredible frustration. And I think fear and frustration are walking hand in hand in this year. And you've dealt with some frustrations that you probably have never had to deal with before. And I never had to deal with as many frustrations back to back as I have had this year. It's been nuts. And in the middle of that frustrating season that we're walking through, it's really easy to get overwhelmed. Let's just be honest today. It's easy to do something stupid. It's easy to fly off the handle. It's easy to bite people's heads off. It's easy to get argumentative. It's really easy to lose faith because you're frustrated. I get it. And we have this crazy Christian mindset that we can't be frustrated, that we can't get angry, that we can't admit that we're walking through tough times or that things aren't, a bed full of roses. Like, come on now. It's frustrating. It's frustrating for all of us. It's a global pandemic, people, and we're all frustrated. Now, we can also admit that some of those frustrations are pretty silly, honestly. We call them first world problems. And sometimes the things that get you frustrated and get you in a bad mood, sometimes the things that get you angry are really not that big of a deal. I mean, oh, I can't go to the movies. I had to wear a mask in Walmart. Like, calm down. Please. There are plenty of people in this world that deal with real frustrating things. But I'm not going to say that all those frustrations are unwarranted. Many of them are. We've gone through some tough times. There's some things like your children's education, loss of jobs, not being able to go to church, not being able to meet your parents or grandparents, not being able to see or tell people goodbye that are dying. This is frustrating. It's a big deal. And learning to separate the warranted from the unwarranted, the real frustrations, that's important. But it's also important that we know how to deal with them and that we're honest. And in order to do that, I think we need to go back to the authority of God's word and look at the frustrated Jesus. I was shocked how many times when I started researching how many times Jesus got frustrated and lost his cool. There's a lot of scriptures. It kind of freaked me out. And remember this, he is fully God and fully frustrated man. And a lot of the time in Jesus's 3-year ministry, we see some real frustrations. He's frustrated at his disciples that just don't seem to get it. And he tells them the same thing over and over and over. That's frustrating, isn't it? When you have to mention the same thing over and over. For you new parents out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ew. For you old parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He has to say the same thing over and over. He's dealing with the Pharisees, the constant haters, the cancel culture of the day that just refuse to listen. These people should have known better. They've studied their whole life. And even the scripture, Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. I'm right in front of you, right, and you don't see me. Right. It was a frustrating time. And Jesus walked through incredible frustration. I wrote down this way, frustration can lead to anger, depression, mistakes, or success, depending upon how to choose to process. Wow. This is important. There's a lot of negative things that come with frustration if you don't know how to process through them. But also, there's some success, there's some breakthrough that can come if you know how to do it well. Yeah. Now, frustrations are going to come. They will always be there, but so will Jesus. Jesus will always be there. If you call yourself a son or a daughter of God, Jesus is there. Are frustrations there as well? Yeah, it's part of life. Now, this year is not normal. There's more frustrations than normal. So it's time that we learn how to deal with it. About halfway through the year, we've got to finally face this. And surely Bon Jovi was right that we're at least halfway there, right? Come on, because right now we're living on a prayer. That's an 80s joke. I'm showing my age. So I was thinking about the times that Jesus was frustrated and all the things that he had to deal with, from being misunderstood to people pulling him in a million different directions. Everywhere he goes, he's getting crowded by people that want something. And then he's, you know, feeding people constantly. And who doesn't bring a sack lunch when you're going to see Jesus in these crowds? Like, that, you can't seriously think ahead enough to do a little meal prep. Being misunderstood. And let's not forget, you know, Jesus had no wife. He doesn't have someone that he can pour out his heart to, and sure, someone that can say, hey, you're losing your cool here, Big J. You need to calm. He doesn't have that. He's doing this by himself. And also, there's the pressure of a deadline coming. Right. He's got 3 years. And when you have disciples that just don't get it, that you're teaching the same things over and over and over with the same deadline looming, it's got to be frustrating. Let's also not forget, it's the Middle East and it's hot. It's hot. And nothing adds to frustration like heat. I'm sorry. When I'm hot, like today, in the broken air conditioning in this room, and I love this building, it's amazing, it's going to be great. But in the middle of COVID-19, we've gotten slowed down. We're dealing with one frustration after the next. This building was supposed to be done Easter of this year, months and months ago, and we're still in the middle of construction. Sometimes it seems like we're going backwards. But in all that, Jesus is still on the throne. That's right. So I'm walking through it. You're walking through it. We're all walking through this together. So what does Jesus have to say about how we deal with frustrations? He gets it. He understands. And he models a great response to frustration in this passage. So Matthew 17, we'll spend a couple minutes there. Then I want to move to the book of Mark. Matthew 17, starting in verse 17. So there was a demon-possessed boy, and the father of this young boy brings the demon-possessed kid to the disciples, and they try to cast the demon out. He doesn't come out. And so they bring him to Jesus. And obviously, Jesus was having a rough day because he loses it. And he says, you guys, look in verse 17, you unbelieving and perverse generation. He's talking to his disciples. You unbelieving, perverse generation. This is as close to cussing as you'll see Jesus get, except for the temple. But this is close. He says, how long shall I stay with you? How long do I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. So Jesus cast this demon out. And then later on, when the disciples are able to have this private conversation with Jesus, they're like, hey, yo, you kind of embarrassed us in front of everybody here. You blew up. You know, why couldn't we do this? And they're trying to figure out, like, hey, we tried. We couldn't do it. But Jesus tells them this. When the disciples come to him in private, they say, why couldn't we drive it out? He speaks back to them and he says, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. It will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I think it's frustrating to God when we don't do what he has clearly enabled us to do. And there's some things that we're waiting on God to move, and he's like, you know how to do this. You know how to process through this. It's not something that you need to ask me for. I've already given it to you. You can do this. You can do tough things. You can make it when it's hard. You can walk through frustration. And there's many times where we're just like, okay, Jesus, do it for me. A spoiled little brat. First world problems. Now, I'm not making light of your frustrations. Jesus had them too, and some of those were his own disciples. We get it. So move over to Mark chapter 8. I want to show you this. Let me give you a quick background. Jesus has just fed thousands of people again. The Pharisees come to him asking for a sign again, literally after he's just fed a ton of people with just a few pieces of bread. And they're like, hey, give us a sign. Like, can you imagine how frustrating that is? And it seems like they're always asking the same questions. Does that frustrate you as a parent or maybe as a teacher or maybe as a boss, your coworkers to ask you the same question every single day? Hey, show me something. Hey, do this again. You're like, oh. Are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? Oh, do it for me because I can't. So they're asking him for a sign again. And then his disciples space out and forget everything that they learned again. You know, one of the most frustrating things is when you're making no progress. There's nothing that frustrates me when there's just no progress, when it feels like you're not making any headway. Mm-hmm. You ever been there?
Yep.
Maybe you're feeling that way today. Like you can't get anything done. You're not making progress this year. All the things and the dreams and the plans and the vision that you had. I don't know how many messages I heard from pastors at the beginning of 2020 talking about perfect vision. You're like, hey, how's that working out for you? Yeah, talk about clarity of vision. Did you see this coming? Yeah, whatever. So, starting in verse 11, look at this. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, and I'll just add my own word right there, again. And they wanted to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven, and look at this. He sighed deeply. The Greek word there is anastodazo, which means to groan from within your spirit, a deep sigh. Some of you that have small children have clear meaning of this, a perfect interpretation of this. This, oh, it's from my soul. Testing Jesus, like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that turn the other cheek thing because I could really, really go for just right now. Jesus is at his wit's end. He sighed deeply from within his spirit. He says, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, I ain't giving you nothing. That's the Texas version. If Jesus was Texan, I ain't got nothing for you. Nothing. You get nothing. Zero. Then it says Jesus left them, got back in the boat, and crossed the other side. I'm out. Not even talking to you anymore. Now, Jesus' frustration comes from sharing spiritual truth with people that were intrigued by physical things. And so later on, they get on this boat. Jesus has just lost it. He's exhausted, of course, from the feeding of so many thousands of people, the preaching, and then being questioned and asked for a sign again. He gets onto his boat and he tries to have a moment where he's explaining some deep truth, a spiritual truth to his disciples who don't get it again. And it says this, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And they discussed this with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. Now, if I was Jesus in this moment, I would have jumped off that boat or might have thrown some other people off the boat. I'd had enough. I mean, maybe Jesus had a little Irish in him and like, this, you know, to the moon, Alice. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I don't like you. I don't like you. You're going to betray me. Peter, you're cool. But everybody, I might have had one of those sessions. Here's the frustrated Jesus. Here it is. You know, he was fully God, but he was fully man. And his frustration came from people just refusing to see things from a spiritual perspective. He was constantly trying to open not just physically blinded eyes, but spiritually blinded eyes. And the Pharisees and his disciples, those that were closest to him and those that understood the word of God, those that should have been able to see it, continually tested his patience because they just wouldn't. They just wouldn't. I want to give you the six cans and can'ts of frustration. I'm going to tell you what you can do according to Jesus, then I'll tell you what you can't do. And we see this modeled as Jesus is dealing with this particular situation. The first thing I want to share with you today is, number one, I can be frustrated and not sin. This is important. I can be frustrated and not sin. There's a fine line there when frustration flies into something else and becomes sin. You can be frustrated and not sin. And people will say, this has been used a lot with the rioting and the looting that we've seen in our world. Well, Jesus went into the temple. He overthrew, you know, all these money changers and he made a whip and lost it. Of course, they call it the temple tantrum, whatever you want to call it. But remember this, he was angry, but didn't sin. Well, you're telling me that, you know, Jesus beating up people, that wasn't sin. It was his house. It's his house. There's a big difference between you taking care and cleaning up your house, getting people out of your house, right, versus looting somebody's business. That's something different. Yeah. I can be angry. I can be frustrated without sinning. Hebrews 4 tells us this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But, he says, we have one who is in every respect tempted just as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted to get really, really angry. Can you imagine if you had the ability to call fire down from heaven? Can you imagine if you had the ability to snap your fingers and lightning falls and strikes people and then people are testing your patience? I mean, how under control you'd have to be. I promise you, if I was God, if I had those powers, there would be so much spontaneous combustion. There would be so many random bolts of lightning. I mean, it would be nuts. Thank God I'm not him. He hasn't given me those abilities. But he was angry. He was frustrated, yet was without sin. Psalm 4 and verse 4 says this, be angry and don't sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. In other words, shut your mouth and take a nap. Go take a nap. Sometimes the best thing you can do, come on somebody, is just, hey, give me about half an hour to take a little snooze. Let me turn my fan on. Let me get my pillows, let me get the room dark, and I'll come back to this situation in a little bit. I mean, I need to take a little break. I can be angry, I can get frustrated, but I don't have to sin. Let me take a nap, and that's a great remedy for my anger and frustration. Here's a second thing I want to share with you, what you can and can't do. Number two, I can walk away for a little while. I can walk away for a little while. Dozens of times, you're going to find this in the life of Jesus, where when things got rough, when he was frustrated, he just took off. Yeah. One scripture says he walks right through the crowd. Like, so see ya. Peace out. I'm done. And sometimes when life gets too much, you need to take a little break. Step back. Take a breath. Mm-hmm. The scripture says, be still before the Lord. Right. Wait patiently for him. Don't fret when people succeed in their ways. You can back up for just a little bit. Sometimes the best way to diffuse a frustrating situation is to choose to walk away. Right. Now, when the Pharisees are asking for a sign, could he have given them one? Absolutely. Right. The better question is, would it have made any difference? Because they don't see what they don't want to see. Right. And this is what we deal with today with our own frustrations. We refuse to see the spiritual. We only see the natural. Yeah. And those things tend to frustrate us when you don't see from God's perspective. You don't see what he's really trying to do. This is the thing that frustrates Jesus the most, when the people that should know better don't, when we refuse to see what he's doing, when we don't ask him to open up our eyes. Lord, let me see this from your perspective. I need your eyes. So I can be angry without sinning. I can be frustrated, and I can take a nap. I can walk away for a little bit. Here's the third thing I want to share with you. What I can't do, I can't quit. I cannot quit. No matter how frustrating this year may be, I cannot quit following after God. I can't quit my purpose. Right. I can't quit loving him. I can't quit church. Let me just speak to somebody. You cannot quit church. You were bought with a price. He's redeemed you. You're called for a purpose. Right. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You can watch online. You can get as close to church as you could possibly get, but you can't quit. Yeah. You don't belong to you anymore. You're his. You're his. I can be frustrated, but I can't quit. And you know, there's a holy determination that needs to rise up inside of us when you're walking through frustrating times. We're like, look, I don't care what you bring at me. I will not stop. I've come too far. I can't quit this. I will not stop serving God. I will not let my faith be shaken. I can't afford to turn around and go back. Who else, Peter says, who else has the words of life? Where else am I going to go? This is what I was born to do. This is what I was called to become. I'm following after Jesus with all my heart, and I will not quit. Right. When frustrations mount, it may mean that you're doing exactly what you're called to do. There's a thing called spiritual warfare. Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the closer you get to Jesus, the worse circumstances get. Yeah. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it means you're doing exactly what God has called you to do. You know, when the enemy can't stop you with frustrations and you get even more determined, then you're dangerous. You're a threat. Galatians 6 says, we must not grow weary in doing good, for in due time or in due season, we will reap if we don't give up. Right. So my message to you today, if you don't hear anything else that I say, hear this. You can be frustrated, but you can't quit. Don't give up. Yeah. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on your church. Right. Don't give up serving. Don't give up giving. Don't give up being generous. Don't stop. Don't quit. You're close. You can do this. Yes. I can't stop now. I can't give up. And I won't. I'm not going to quit on you, and you can't quit on me.
That's good.
Here's the fourth thing. What can I do? I can't ask questions. I can ask questions. And by the way, it's always better to ask questions than to make statements or to give ultimatums when you're frustrated. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching to somebody. I've been there. And when you get frustrated, you start giving ultimatums. Well, you're going to do this, or this is going to happen, or by God, help me. You ever been there? Come on, let's be honest. Yeah. Sometimes it's better if you ask questions. And this is what you see Jesus do. He asks 8 questions of his disciples. Instead of making statements, which he could have made, he starts asking them questions. Look at verse 17. Back in Mark, he says, aware of their discussion about not having any bread, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? So he's not talking about their natural eyes. He's talking about their spiritual eyes. You really think bread is my problem? That's what made me angry, that you forgot bread? Did you not remember what we literally just did? Again, by the way, you've seen this happen multiple times. Do you think that your one loaf of bread is limiting to me? And somebody needs to hear this today. You're frustrated by your lack of resources, and to God, it means nothing. He said, you still think it's about bread? You still think it's about money? You still think it's about a job? There's something much deeper here, and he wants you to open up your eyes. He says, you have eyes, but you're not seeing. Have you hardened your heart? Have you allowed frustrations to harden your heart here? He goes on to say, don't you remember when I broke 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up? 12. Was it 12? Yeah, 12. I think it was 12. Oh, and then when I broke 7 loaves for 4,000 people, how many basketfuls did you pick up then? They said, 7. And then what a great question. He says, do you still not understand? Do you still not understand? What a great question from Jesus. You know, I think the Lord is speaking very, very clearly. This is not a normal year. So you cannot look at this year through your normal eyes. Otherwise, you're going to become like everybody else, looking for a conspiracy, looking for hypocrisy, looking to blame a candidate, looking to blame a political party, looking to blame some lab in China. You're going to focus on everything else that this world is telling you. This person is to blame or that person is to blame for all your frustrations. It's a lie. It's a spiritual battle. Please hear me. Do you still not understand? Jesus says, open your eyes. It's much deeper than that. There's a spiritual battle going on here. These are not normal times. Your frustrations are not because of anything else. There's a very real power at work against you and against the church. And it's quite obvious this is a spiritual battle. So start seeing it through spiritual eyes. I love that Jesus asks questions. And sometimes the best way that you can resolve some frustrations, especially with another person, is just ask them questions or lead them to the answer. So you can lead a horse to water, right? But you can't make them drink. That's true. I've seen it. Sometimes you can lead somebody to enlightenment if you just ask them the right questions. But the moment you start making statements and ultimatums, they just put up that brick wall and it becomes even more frustration. You go from 8 to a 10. Yeah. Jesus asks questions. And I can choose to ask questions too. And I think that's an important point for some people to deal with some of these things, maybe in a different way. There's a better way. There's a Jesus way of dealing with the most frustrating year of all time. I can ask questions. Here's number 5. I can always recall the goodness of God. And I love that Jesus says, do you not remember? Don't you remember the miracle that you just saw? He said, how many baskets was that? How many people did we just feed? Did you not just literally come out of a place of faith? And it's important that we remember the miracles of God, the times where God brought you through, the times where he provided in powerful supernatural ways, because they give you hope in the dark times where you don't feel him, where you don't see him, where you feel like you're all alone and it's frustrating. You have to go back and recall the goodness of God of what got you here. God has never failed, and he's not going to start with you. He's not going to start now. He's still on the throne. He still does miracles. And in the midst of the worst times, God's still there. And we have to go back in our mind and remember the goodness of God to bring hope into the present. I wrote it down this way. God's blessings yesterday bring hope to the frustrations of today. That's so true. It's a powerful truth that I have to remind myself of. It's easy when we're walking through tough days to forget what God has done and how far we've come. Yeah. One of the things we do around here is we celebrate the win. In every single meeting, every time that we get together as a staff, We celebrate the goodness of God. We celebrate changed lives. Because when you're in ministry like me, when you're in the middle of a global pandemic, when you're wrong if you open up a church, you're wrong if you keep it closed, you're wrong if you ask people to wear a mask, you're wrong if you tell them to take them off, it doesn't matter, you're wrong. Frustration, yeah, I've been there. I get it. I get it. There is no easy answer. There is no right answer. It's all frustration, and you're dealing with people's attitudes. I get it. In the middle of all those things that are going on, I have to remember that God is still on the throne. Yeah. And we've still got a job to do.
That's right. Right. That's right.
He brought us here for a purpose, and I'm not done yet. You're not done yet either.
That's good.
I can always look back and recall the goodness of God, and it gives me strength when my hope and my strength have played out. Mm-hmm. What's God done for you? What's He done? There's an old song that we used to sing called Count Your Blessings. The word says, name them one by one. I say count your blessings and take it slow. Make it take all day.
Yeah.
So you have no time left for frustrations. You're just counting the blessings of God.
Yes.
Somebody needs to hear that.
Yes.
Teach your kids to count their blessings.
Yes.
Teach your kids the grateful heart.
Yes.
There's always something that we can be thankful for. And I can recall the goodness of God. That's the beauty of having spiritual eyes. I don't just see what's happening right now, but I can see what happened and how I can use it later. Or how what happened yesterday can bring me hope today.
Yes.
Here's the last thing I'll leave you with as we finish up. Here's what I can do when I'm walking through frustration, is I can still believe for breakthrough.
Yes.
You can't take that from me.
Yes.
No matter what frustration brings, you can't take my hope in Jesus.
Right.
I can still believe for breakthrough. I can still believe that God doesn't waste pain. And that in spite of all the things that are happening, there's still an amazing breakthrough coming. I believe that.
Yeah.
If I didn't believe that, then why not just end it now?
Right.
No, I believe that our best days are still in front of us.
Right.
We
right.
still have a future and a hope and a promise from God. This is not the end.
Right.
So we persevere, we push,
yes.
we keep going. No matter what, I believe that the breakthrough will always be worth the frustration.
Yes.
Paul says it this way, I consider our present sufferings, they are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. It doesn't even compare to what we're going to get on the other side. There's a blessing coming. You know, Jesus, when he was facing this frustrating day from getting consumed with ministry and people's wants and needs, from getting pressed on from every side, from getting questioned and tested by Pharisees that should have known better, to listening to his disciples argue about a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of all that, when he reaches the other side, the Bible says there's a blind man that comes, hey, Jesus, give me my sight. In that moment, Jesus doesn't turn him away and say, man, dude, if you knew the day I had, I got nothing left to give.
Yeah.
You know, you'll look through Scripture and you'll never see Jesus respond that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He keeps going.
Yes.
He keeps going. Mm-hmm. And he does something special at the end of this chapter, something that you'll never see anywhere else in any of Jesus's miracles. It says Jesus takes him outside the city, away from the people. It's just Jesus and this blind man and maybe a few disciples that are around. It says this, they came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village. Mm-hmm. And when he had spit on the man's eyes, gross. And then he put his hands on him. Jesus says, do you see anything? The man looked up and says, I see people. They look like trees walking around. And then something profound happens. The only time in Scripture that you see a gradual miracle, it says, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes and then his eyes were open and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. You know, I was reading this today and I was thinking, okay, Jesus, I never see you have to heal somebody twice. You know, I don't see you. Did the frustrations of today, did the frustrating afternoon that you had, did that all build up to where your power was kind of not on its game? But here's the thing. He says, I see men like trees. You know, dozens and dozens of times throughout the Bible describes men as trees. He says, you have to look through your spiritual eyes and see people as God sees them. God sees people like trees and the fruit that they bear and whether they're growing and they're strong and mighty or they're weak and they're easily bendable. God sees people as trees through a spiritual world that we don't see. And I think Jesus in that moment touched this man and said, by God, one person today is going to open up their spiritual eyes and it's going to be you. And it says, Jesus touched this man's face. He opens up and he says, I see people like trees. And Jesus is like, hey, don't. Okay, I'm going to give you your regular sight, but by gosh, you're going to see. You're going to see things from a spiritual perspective because it's been a frustrating day and you're going to have a breakthrough. At least one person today is going to get it. And I want you to have that same mindset, that same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Let it be inside of you that somebody is going to get rewarded today. But based on all the frustration that I've been through, somebody's getting a blessing of God. I'm going to use this as fuel to touch somebody's life. I'm going to have a breakthrough today. And you can't stop me from believing that there is breakthrough coming. My friend, all around you are people just like trees. And some of those are bearing fruit. Some of those are so dry. Some of those are withering. Some of those have been chopped down and hurt by the frustrations of this year. If you were to be described as a tree, what would your tree look like today? Would this be your best year where you're just bearing fruit? Or can we be honest and say it's been a frustrating year? I wouldn't be so proud of the fruit I'm bearing. My friend, it's a frustrating season, but it's a season. And seasons change.
Yes, sir.
Breakthrough comes. Because no matter what kind of frustrations that you're facing, they'll always be there, but so will Jesus. He's here.
Yes.
And I can believe that if Jesus is here, there is absolutely a breakthrough coming. You know, when we choose to see frustrations through the spiritual lens, then we see a cohesive plan. We see God's heart. And ultimately, we will see a breakthrough. I believe that. I need you to believe that with me. This is not in vain. This is not for nothing. Do not waste this season. Don't waste the frustrations. Jesus didn't. He used it to teach. He used it to heal. He used it to change mindsets. And he's changing mindsets today, right now. So if you've never been in a situation where you've thought about your spiritual eyes or your spiritual sight, today can be your day. You know, the way that you have your spiritual eyes open is you just ask. Like this blind man approached Jesus, I want to see. I want to see. Another scripture, Jesus looks at someone and says, according to your faith, will it be done for you? So I asked you at the beginning of this message to get your faith up, to believe that God is going to speak to you. Now I ask you to do it one more time and believe that God is going to open your spiritual eyes so that you won't just see the frustrations, but you'll see God's cohesive plan pushing you to bear fruit.
Yeah.
It's a frustrating season, my friend. Ask him to open up your spiritual eyes. Otherwise, these frustrations are going to keep going. And they affect every year after this.
Yeah.
I don't want this season to last any longer than it absolutely has to. I want to learn and grow through everything that's in my path. Mm-hmm. What do you want? Right where you are, can you do me a favor? I want to pray for you. And if you agree with this, ask the Lord to open up your eyes. Let me pray for you. Father, right now, for every single person that's watching this today, Lord, we need help. This has been the most frustrating year of all time. There's lots of things that are valid, but Lord, there's plenty of things that aren't. There's things that we complain about, get frustrated about, get flustered over that just don't matter. But Father, there's a lot of things that do matter. We're hurting. Many people are sick. Many people have lost jobs and have been affected in horrible ways. Lots of people have had their churches shut down or locked down, can't even worship you in a group. Our worship has been attacked like we've never seen. Lord, there's so much turmoil going on. There's so many things to get frustrated about, and they can ruin our day. But Lord, in the middle of all this, would you do something that your word tells us that you can do? Would you open up our eyes? Help us to see your plan through all this. Help us to make some sense and to see what you're doing. Help us to gain a heart of wisdom so that we can understand. Your word tells us that we can understand the seasons, that we can understand the times, we can see what you're doing, that you love to reveal things to your people. I want that. So Father, for every single person watching, Lord, if they open up their heart and they ask you the same question, would you do for them what you're doing for me? Open their eyes. Help them to see what you're doing. Speak to them clearly. Meet them at the point of their need. Help in Jesus' name. My friend, before we go, in the same attitude of prayer, if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, please don't wait another day. We are not promised tomorrow. And if you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins, I'm going to help you just like somebody helped me one time. My life was a mess. And I'm not afraid to admit it. It was horrible. And my addictions had brought me to a place where I had no hope. But God in that moment found me, and somebody helped me to respond to his amazing love. They led me in a prayer to change my life. I would love to have the privilege of leading you in that same prayer. Would you pray with me right where you are? The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life. and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Will you be the Lord of my life? Now say this, friends. Say, I give myself to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, if you just ask Jesus to come into your heart, I am so incredibly proud of you. I would love to celebrate that with you. Would you do me a favor? Would you text me? Text the words, I prayed, all one word. Text it to 94090. I would love to just celebrate what God did. It always encourages me when I see that somebody's responding to the gospel. And every week we have people that text and just, you have no idea how much it encourages me. And also, if you liked what you heard today, would you click the share button? That always means a lot when people share the gospel, the good news, the frustrating times that we're walking through. They need this message. So would you take this to your world? Would you be afraid and be bold enough to stand up for Jesus and say, Lord, I received something from this. I want to share this with, on social media with people that I know need it too. I'm not ashamed to stand up for you. I'm not embarrassed by you, Jesus. I believe that your word brings life and health and hope and healing. And if there ever was a time on this planet where people needed it, it's right now. I love you and so proud of you. Thank you for tuning in today. God bless you, and I hope you have an amazing week with your spiritual eyes open, dealing with the frustrations of the week in a godly manner. Yes. God bless you as you go. Yes. Have a great day.